This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees, and fracases. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So, ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty free, and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a Scoot flight from the Gold Coast.
At LAX.
Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started the
I hope this crashes.
Out the fucking door!
Welcome to a new year and welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rat can fly now. Here's what happens when they do. I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie.
Mate, as I just said, happy new year. I know you're a man that loves this sort of stuff, mate.
Oh, man. It's passable because it's only a week ago. But you might want to watch that because for me, like people tend to blow out. Sometimes you'll see someone you haven't seen since the previous year, but it's like end of January, February. I don't know where to draw the line. Probably today, to be honest.
Yeah.
People say Happy New Year in February. Punchable.
Yeah.
No, that's as bad as fucking see you next year.
Yeah.
On New Year's Eve.
Of course. What's your rule with like Christmas trees and decorations? They down in your joint already?
Oh, yeah. Gone.
Yeah.
Totally gone. Yeah. Technically, Boxing Day should be gone. But didn't get around to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't care much for that.
So when do you think, like, when Woolies and Coles start putting out hot cross buns?
Fuck.
So I haven't checked, so they probably already have. You've got to stop saying Happy New Year. It all rolls into one.
I've seen hot cross buns on Boxing Day. Next big thing.
You're the only bloke. Everyone else is waiting at fucking stores to go get sales on shoes and shit. And JB Hi-Fi getting it cheap for Falcon.
Yeah.
You're just at Woolies waiting for hot cross buns to get charged.
Same as like April 25th. As soon as this is over, April 26th or something, you just go, oh, fuck, where's my pumpkin? It's Halloween soon.
No, it goes Easter weekend into they then go to Anzac Day.
Oh, what? What do you buy for Anzac Day, though? Anzac biscuits.
Yeah, but I think Coles and Woolies start putting up that stuff.
Do they?
Yeah.
They celebrate Anzac Day at Coles and Woolies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there'd be somewhere to donate your favourite thing.
Fucking hell. Don't we love a duopoly here? Just everything goes around what Coles and Woolies do.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. What do you make of Christmas in July?
I don't think I've ever done it. Oh, no, that's a lot. When I worked at the summer camp in the States, they did a Christmas in July.
Yeah.
Just a little fun thing for the kids.
Oh, okay. Well, why would I thought Christmas in July was for people who live in hot climates to experience the motherland thing where they come from.
Yeah.
Where it's cold and they can pretend that they can make snowmen and shit.
Yeah.
In a winter climate.
What I did like about doing it in the States is that it's hot there in July. So just at the summer camp, I was on the beers early. I was arguing with Rallos by 8:15.
Yeah.
I'd already been sunburnt, maggot. Just like Christmas.
Standard.
Christmas should be.
Yep.
It's not like the Christmas cards.
You want to eat minimum 5 different types of animal and fucking get some scabs on your knuckles for Boxing Day. Otherwise, it's not Christmas.
Pre-10 a.m. I'm not a New Year's fan anyway. We've covered this before. I'm not a big New Year's Eve fan. I made the mistake once with an ex. She talked me into going into the Melbourne CBD to watch the fireworks on New Year's Eve.
Jesus Christ.
Worst night of my life.
Big crowd?
Fucking rammed.
Yeah.
rammed.
Nightmare.
Good night if you were that Bourke Street bloke, that lunatic in the Commodore.
Oh, you would have.
Wouldn't have been able to move.
Didn't time it that well, did he?
No, but it's fucking, it's just yuck. I hate fireworks anyway. Not a fan of them. Don't care for it. I hate New Year's Eve drinking, really. It's, as we've discussed before, again, it's amateur night. The only fun I truly ever had New Year's Eve was when I was a teenager. I grew up in a court in Hoppers Crossing. And there were,
hang on, like a dead-end street?
Yeah, what do you call it?
Well, I thought you meant like a fucking, you know, like a court of law.
Oh, like family court?
Yeah. You and your parents lived above that handily.
No, it was a, what's the other word for it?
Cul-de-sac.
Cul-de-sac. Yeah, it was a court. And occasionally our street would just get the council thing to block it off, just block off the court, and all the parents would get maggot. And as a teenager, I think from 12 or 13, I got to have one beer. So I think I was 12. It was like one beer at 12, two at 13, three at 14, four at 14. No. It was around there. It built up to six at 18.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
But, and I was a super good kid, never got in trouble, but there were some neighbours that were rascals. We had a neighbour at the end of our street, and the kid's name was Philip. He was a few years older than me. He was in the same age group as the, there were kids mainly my age, and then there was a group above us, and he was in that above age bracket, but he was a fucking dweeb. No fun, shit banter, just an English family. They were cunts.
Say no more.
And his dad, Bill, had a boat and would show it off. And in Hoppers Crossing, nobody in my area, nobody had a fucking boat.
How far was the nearest waterway?
Oh, Werribee Beach would be 20-minute drive, I reckon. Not that far.
Okay.
But they had a boat, this little catamaran thing, and Bill hit some rocks and it broke in two. And the two parts of the boat were on his front lawn.
Great.
And my mum used to call him Two Boat Bill.
Excellent.
To his face. Hey, fuck, you're doing all right, Boo, Bill, with your two boats, right? Just to shit him. But the older kids that I was mates with every year used to break Philip's letterbox and put it in the drain.
Yeah.
Right? And this one year, I remember being 16 or 17, before they left on their holidays, Bill came out and yelled at everyone, I don't know who's doing this to our letterbox, but we've got cameras.
Yeah.
We've got cameras around now.
Yeah.
I just got to be a part of a thing playing street cricket while kids jumped the fence on either side of Philip's house, got up on the roof and dropped down into the front and sort of spray painted it. It was like Mission Impossible. It was incredible.
Oh, they spray painted the camera?
Yeah.
Right.
Spray painted the camera and then spray painted the window. There was a camera in the window. They spray painted the window where the camera was. So all they would have seen is kids playing cricket in the street and then letterbox gone.
Right. That's a lot of effort that a balaclava could have just fixed.
Mm. And I hope I'm not misquoting my dad here, but I remember we put it in. I had to help the kids lift up a drain, and I helped them lift up this drain cover. And I believe, Dad listens to this, so he'll tell me if I was wrong. I believe he caught us and said, don't put it in our street, you fucking idiots. Go put it in a drain somewhere else. Like it's too easy for him to figure out.
The letterbox, you put it in hole
into
the drain. All right. We used to play a little bit of letterbox baseball. Quite fun.
Oh, yeah?
I enjoyed that.
Is that in the car?
Yeah, it's in a car. But because we're in Australia, you had to play left-handed, like a fucking freak of nature.
Mm.
So didn't always work out.
Is that where you just drive past with a baseball bat or cricket bat smashing letterboxes?
Yeah, you have to sort of get up on the footpath or around the, you know, into the ditch and just smash them. Good fun.
You would have been too old for this game because he didn't rise to prominence until I was a teenager. We used to play a game called Bin Laden.
Yeah.
And you just grab onto one of the wheelie bins at the back and, yeah, just full speed, sort of 10-pin bowl it into a bunch of bins.
Oh, never too old to have fun, Nicholas. Done it. Wasn't called that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Maybe it was called something different.
Oh, man.
Anyway, New Year's. I think the best New Year's I had as an adult, got drunk with a bloke who used to be one of those guys. It happens a lot in comedy. When you start out, you become great mates with people and then they just drop off for whatever reasons. This bloke, Pete, he was a prominent comic in the Melbourne open mic scene. Very funny dude, but he was shit on the booze.
Yeah.
And we're in a cab one night on New Year's. It must have been one in the morning, New Year's Day, and with our partners at the time And Pete, we must have been doing 80k an hour on the road, yelled out, "Now the cab's got wings," and just opened his fucking car door.
Jesus.
And the cab driver had to swerve. I was so blind. I thought it was funny. Like, he wasn't going to hit anyone. It's just very funny to see a man that drunk that thinks that's a good idea.
Bit of harmless larrikin fun. Did you get kicked out of the cab?
No, it was New Year's. We were probably the best behaved in a taxi, man, that night.
Yeah, that's the problem with New Year's. Brings out the fuckwit in most people.
He's woken up, I believe. He told me two stories about blacking out. Once he woke up in the movies, just watching a movie, he didn't know how he got in there.
Yep.
And another one was he woke up under a tray of bread that was like cooling outside a bakery.
Oh, I think the baker's chucked it on him.
No. He said he thinks he's curled up underneath for a little rest.
Oh, okay. Bit of warmth of bloody nature's electric blanket. Tray of hot crossies cooling themselves off out the back and then before they get palmed off with fucking tip rat vomit on them to Coles in a six pack. Beware, everyone. Anyway, New Year's Eve does bring out the fuckwit in everyone. And this is a New Year's Eve classic story we got for episode 43 of Mid Flight Brawl. If you can cast your mind back to December 31. 2008.
That was the year we did the cab with the plane doors.
Oh, right.
Good to know Pete wasn't the worst bloke in the world on that night.
Well, no, I don't think so. We're looking at good old Thompson Airways.
Mm.
And haven't they come to the fore lately?
Yeah.
Flight 133 from Manchester to the Dominican Republic.
Again, Northern England. Fucking hot diggity.
Yeah, they are.
They're on it.
They really do represent themselves well on this podcast. All those monkeys heading over to soak up the culture. New Year resolution to see the world one gated villa community at a time. Head over there, maybe try to ride a humpback whale or something. I don't know what it is that they'd be up to. But
getting sunburnt and drinking fucking Tetleys.
Oh, yeah, demanding Barry's tea. In a country that don't know what the fuck you're talking about. This flight got delayed by 3 hours, allowing the hoodlums to slug heaps more booze than they usually would before a flight. Mistake. Big problem.
Those low-cost carriers out of Northern England, their flight should aim to leave early. That's the only way they're going to avoid any trouble.
Yeah. Just go that, yeah, you're not getting that 15 minutes. Those two pints, you're not getting them.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the old rule, like an hour going to bed, every hour sleep you get before midnight is worth two.
Yeah.
I think it's like every pint they get after the original time it was meant to leave, that's worth 3 pints.
Oh,
they're going to be fucking
totally
blind.
But they got more, actually. But by the time they got on right, they were fucking charged, most of them. Like, pretty much this fast-forwarded the flight straight to magic hour as soon as they were on.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're already 3 hours in, technically, by the time they got on. Their ears hadn't even popped by the time things kicked the fuck off on this flight. 36-year-old Grant Smith from Burnley, he was swigging some of his own duty free with his then girlfriend and another couple. And he thought, this is a perfect time to steal flight attendant Tim Burrows' wallet. I assume Tim had it on a chain or something. And Grant just yanked it. And there he goes, Velcro.
What sort of fucking tip rat flight attendant has their wallet in their pocket as they're walking around? You don't trust the people you work with, the people that are. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I don't have my wallet in my pocket on a flight.
I don't have it with me most of the time, to be honest.
I lost my license the other day, but not because of anything nefarious. I wasn't speeding or anything. I just lost the physical license because I keep it loose in my pocket.
Yeah.
I hate carrying a wallet around now. So I just have my license in a pocket and then I've got all the other shit on my phone, the cards on my phone.
You get your license on the phone now.
Can you?
New South Wales can.
Oh, shit.
Maybe you might want to look into that down there. Who knows? I would be surprised if Melbourne, the most progressive city in the Southern Hemisphere, maybe the world, hasn't pioneered this and found themselves with their licenses on their phones, although who knows?
You should be able to just take a photo of it and show the cops a photo because the number would match up. surely.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
Isn't that what they're looking for? They're looking for the number.
Yes. Cops are.
The rest of the shit's fancy.
But with nightclubs and the like and those things you've got to scan on to get in for when you start fights later on, not so much.
I'm not going into those sort of pubs at the time where the scanner's out.
I don't like the scanners either, but I have to go to gigs sometimes. You've got to scan in to get into an RSL or something to do your show.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not letting you off with that or anyone. Anyway, Grant's just yanked his wallet out of his pocket or off the chain or whatever, and him and his mates started chucking it around the cabin in a game of keepaways. And eventually found its way back to Grant. He caught the wallet. Like all good bullies, he gave it back to Tim, but under the condition that Tim go fetch him some food pronto. He said, yeah, I've shown you up. Yeah, this is his quote. I've shown you up. Yes, I'm sorry. Go get me a sandwich. That wasn't a good start.
Great work there from Grant.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, and this is early on.
Very early on. As soon as the trolley's out. Later on, he was malingering around the cabin door area saying things like, I'm not sure what I'll do. I'm going to fucking kill somebody.
Wow.
He also made some homophobic remarks to the cabin staff and started a fight with one of his companions, what they call a play fight.
Yeah, but incredible that it's gotten this far. Like, again, I'm obsessed with the flight attendant's wallet situation. Has he got it in his pocket and they've pulled it out with the chain, or is he someone, like if he's sitting at the bar, does he just have his darts and his wallet and his keys and his phone and everything just on top of the trolley as he pushes it along?
Oh, you reckon? He's got all his belongings up there and his car keys and shit, just begging some hoodlums to play piggy in the middle with his stuff. Grant was issued with two written warnings, both of which he quite rightly ripped up into little pieces and threw on the floor.
Again. When are they going to change the rule around these written fucking warnings?
Never heard of one going well.
It's like post 9/11, the pilots don't come out of the cockpit anymore. They don't try and talk with someone.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be the pilot would come out and go, all right, you want to fly somewhere, where should we go? Don't crash the thing. But after 9/11, fuck that. How many of these until it's like, hey, this guy's drinking fucking rum out of a green duty-free bag. I don't think this letter is going to help things move along.
Oh, I think, well, there's got to be a winner out of every situation. 9/11 has seen pilots just shut the door and do what they want. And what they want, I mean, is sleep while autopilot just sorts shit out. No fear of someone opening that and going, fuck, these two are asleep.
Is that what you thought when coronavirus happened? So many people in the airline industry they sort of lost their jobs, or their jobs got put on hold and they had to go and do other jobs. And people are like, what are pilots doing working at a Woolies? Were you, fuck, maybe that's why they were upset, because there's no autopilot when you're stacking shelves.
Yeah.
They just couldn't tick off a checklist at the start and then put the feet up for a few hours and have a coffee and a yarn.
Oh, yeah. They've. Well, I don't think they do much, pilots. I know they get revered and the likes of you love them, but there's not a lot to be done, really, honestly.
No, but all the pilots I've met have said there's a lot to remember, not a lot to do, but it's if something goes wrong, you want the best ones there, you know?
You do, but if something goes wrong, as far as they're concerned, they're going to be one of two things, a hero or dead.
Yeah.
So pretty good options for them. They'll never come out looking like a fuckwit on this earth.
Yeah, that's true. Unless you're that bloke that lost all his money and just fucking crashed it into the ocean. Another good episode of air crash investigations.
What? And survived?
No.
Well, there you go.
No, he lost everything. There was the bloke. Oh, no, but surely you look bad then as a pilot.
You look terrible, but you don't have to face the music, do you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What an interesting way to look at pilots. They're getting out of this fine either way.
Oh, they're heroes. nearly every way, or they're fuckwits who are dead. Never a fuckwit is still alive. Not a bad thing.
Yeah.
The pilots heard about the written warning being ripped up, and he said, look, fuck this. We're going to, where do you reckon? Bit cut off, bit remote to drop these drop kicks off.
Cut off and remote? It wouldn't happen to be
Gateway to the Wild Atlantic Way. Hi, I'm Marie Slattery, head of marketing for the Shannon Group, and welcome to Shannon Airport, gateway to the Wild Atlantic Way in Ireland.
Not Shannon, was it?
A very good guess, and I like the cut of your jib, but they were past there by this stage. So they ended up in Bermuda.
Wow.
Beautiful Bermuda.
Good place. Who lives there? You don't want to pay tax.
Absolutely. Six of them got booted, but Smithy, he was the one in most trouble. Smith, Grant Smith, he was in the shit for how he acted and how he spoke to flight attendant Tim Burrows.
Is that the new Bermuda Triangle? Just three cunts from Manchester spread out, drinking duty-free, throwing your wallet around?
Manchester, Dublin, Birmingham. That's the Bermuda Triangle. John Oltram, the lawyer defending, said his client admitted calling Mr. Burrows a poof, but denied it was expressed as a homophobic comment. He said, it's a phrase that's used in some areas, less for comment on someone's sexuality, but more on the way they're behaving. What do you make of that? Some areas, it means Manchester.
Well, I didn't grow up there, but I've heard it used for the same reason in the 3029 Hoppers Crossing. Yeah, incredible. Fair play. A lawyer pulling that out. That was 2008, or so 2009 when he was in court.
Different time. It'd
be a little bit harder now, I reckon. Yeah.
You think? I don't know, man. It's not that long ago.
Still, that's what you're paying a suit for. Get in there and get me off.
Well, I mean, the other thing he said about his client was Smith is a single father whose teenage daughter is expecting a child. He'd gone on a holiday to get away from everything at home, in inverted commas, following the death of a close friend. Now, we've all had friends die before. I've said this before and I'll say it again. As part of the grieving process, people just have to leave you alone to get maggot, bully them and call them poofs. Step two, I believe.
I had a good friend die a couple of years ago, and that was first move, just get on Webjet. And I was looking to go to a sunny place, get some duty-free, just start yelling some slurs on the plane.
I bet everyone left you alone. They knew the drill.
Is that between anger and denial? Is that, I forget the steps of grief.
Shock, calling people poofs, / anger.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, then he sort of doubled down on his defence, this lawyer. He said, oh, Smith, he was not the only rowdy passenger. He was subjected to threats by a group of passengers from Liverpool. The old, oh, he's been doing it all day, sir.
Oh.
That's why I was a fucking filthy grub. Other people were grubs, had no option.
God, that's a rough flight. This flight attendant, hate victim blaming, but if you see half the cabin's Manchester and the other half are Liverpool.
How would you see that?
Leave the wallet up front.
The jerseys.
Leave the wallet up front. Put it in the fucking black box. Yeah, the jerseys. They're all fucking red though.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there'd be a few blue ones. A few City fans.
Oh, that, well, they're going to the Dominican Republic. They'd be wearing their away strip, I would think. In the end, Grant Smith, not actually from Manchester, he's from Burnley.
Oh, that's right.
He lived in Sladeburn Avenue, no less, in Burnley, Lancashire. Went to the big house for 10 and a half months.
Whoa.
What a fucking, that's a big one, Grant. Have that.
That is massive.
Oh, just a
sure, he tore up the two written warnings, called someone a poof, and, you know, it was getting quite violent. But 10 and a half months.
To be honest, I've looked at a lot of these things. I think the poof thing is what sent that over the edge.
Yeah.
The judge just went, fuck this. We're in a new century now. Not having that. I had a sticky beak at Sladeburn Avenue and the surrounds. Bog standard English blood in the gutter houses area.
Yeah.
Nearest pub to Grant's place. This will interest you. It's called the...
There?
What's that?
Downstairs? Is it downstairs? Does he live above one?
No, actually. It's actually... it's about 20 minutes walk away. I looked it up on the maps. No. Oh. He's got to be a drink driver. No one should have to walk 20 minutes to the pub in England. That's crazy. And it's called the Turf Hotel. No surf anywhere. Oof. Surf and turf. Yes. Do you ever... I just saw the turf and thought, oh, surely there's surf and turf there.
Yeah. Am I a surf and turf fan? I've ordered it to annoy you before.
Really sticking it to the vegans, isn't it? I'm not a vegan, but it's really, that's one for the ages. That they've had it coming for a long time.
We've gigged together heaps and we've toured together a bunch. I'm sure we've had Surf and Turf together before, or I got it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a fan.
Well, I mean, it's just so totally unnecessary. It's such an amazing thing to think to have.
What's the term that they use in Queensland on menus for, like, so you've got the steaks and then it's got, you know, instead of it being its own meal, Surf and Turf.
Oh.
What do they call them? You can have like add-ons or something?
You can have a lobster topper or prawn topper or something like that.
Topper. Yeah.
Or they just call it the reef and beef instead of the Surf and Turf.
Yeah. No, but the topper. Yeah. I love that term.
Topper. Steak's not good enough. Let's put some cheesy sauce and shit on top just to remind you of Sizzler from when your life was better and that's where you ate.
Nothing says this steak's about to be shit more than gravy being an option in the sauces menu for the steak.
Oh, yeah, just plain gravy, you're talking. Gravox. Yeah. No, there's a bit of powder, a few chunks of powder still in there.
Man, I'm telling you, growing up, I had no idea that gravy and pancakes came in other ways than powdered. I honestly had no idea. No fucking idea. I saw someone break eggs once when I slept over to make pancakes.
Said, what's that?
Okay, what's wrong with this cunt?
What's that?
Where's the little milk carton?
I thought eggs came in powder. What about, what did you make it the first time you saw a potato that wasn't fucking Deb flakes in a packet to make your mash? Must have blown your fucking mind.
Man, we had, I remember at one point in my house there would have been Gravox. I don't think there was Deb. I definitely remember mashing potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
So we're above Deb, but there was, yeah, Gravox, the pancake, what's it,
shake and bake.
Yeah, pancake shake. And we had the fucking drink that the astronauts had.
Tang.
Tang.
Tang's disgusting.
We had Tang. My cupboard should be on the space station. It's just all powders.
Some of it's probably still there, just fine. There's some behind a kickboard, you still eat that. The Turf Hotel writes, character pub.
Yeah.
Turf Hotel, this very, like 1 year ago now, pretty much nearly to the day, it was a setting for a 30-man brawl last fighting season between Burnley and Newcastle United fans.
Whoa.
The Clarets managed to beat the Magpies 1-0 and the Toon Army fucking hated that. And started a biff at the Turf Hotel. Pretty soon after the fight kicked off, fists were subbed out for glasses, pool cues, and furniture. Fucking thugs, the British. Big fight. I saw a bit of it, but not much. Not a lot of footage. Had a gander at the stills, though, of the men they're looking for.
Yeah.
Nine of them. All nine. Bald.
Yeah.
Angry and wearing tracksuits or footy jerseys. So,
yeah.
Pigs are looking for every English man over 22.
Yeah, need more information to narrow it down.
Oh, fuck yeah.
A faded barbed wire tattoo on the bicep. Nah, sorry, mate. It's knocked out two of them. There's about 40 million to go.
They do go bald early, though, don't they, that mob? Pretty much, like, they just, like a lot of English blokes, I know baldness starts earlier now anyway because of baseball caps and the like. but over there, they seem to go bald even earlier than here.
No, surely that's got to be, it has to have something to do with just the shit clipper jobs on their hair as children. They're just never giving hair a chance to grow. Like, I think the hair just figures out, oh, it doesn't even, they don't even want us here.
Oh, right. Doesn't matter. Everything I do, they just cut me down. I'm just trying to bloody get ahead in life.
Yeah.
And then they just give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never been, their hair's never been longer than a three. So just eventually thinks, oh, we're not meant to be here. Yeah. Like a gallbladder or something.
Yeah. It's like the appendix, just to get phased out soon enough. Hair. Pretty much any adult in a footy strip, though, particularly the ones with vertical stripes and no hair, should just be arrested on sight, from what I've seen. They're up to absolutely no fucking good in any country. I saw a photo of Grant at the time of this in 2008 at the age of 36. And if he,
you sure it was him?
Well, yeah, it was in the article. It was in a couple of the articles. I'm not 100%, but yeah, I think so. The did you see it? The shiny vinyl jacket?
No.
Oh.
Sounds good.
Tell you what, though, if he's telling the truth about his age, it's been a fucking hard life. And furthermore, a bit of one of his eyebrows seemed to have fallen off.
Just a little strip of it.
Yeah, a little strip right in the middle there.
Yeah, grim.
Bit of selective alopecia of the face. So, anyway, wasn't the this whole incident wasn't the last thing we heard of Grant Smith. In
What happened?
2013, May 26, he was happily.
Hold on.
Yeah, go on.
What year was that?
2013. Grant was happily slumped in the back of a car of his friend, who was driving in the beautiful Yorkshire Dales region on the May long weekend. Northern England may well have been experiencing one of their trademark 4 or 5 days of sunshine for the year. And things were going great until the car got in a bit of a bingle and there was a fight. And the piggies turned up to talk to the drivers when the now 40-year-old Grant got out and started mumbling and then pissing against a stone wall in front of children. When he was asked to stop, he turned around, nearly pissing on a female police officer in the process.
Jesus.
This earned him a formal warning, at which point he pulled out a denture plate and threatened to nut her.
Fucking hell. Jesus. How would that – that doesn't seem smart, though. Surely you want to keep as much of your head in there as possible before you start throwing the skull around.
What do you think he's going to shake his denture loose when he headbutts a female police officer?
No, you just think it'd be better to bite down and do it.
Yeah. Well,
you don't want gums on teeth for that.
Certainly, the more you clearly misplaced his mouth guard.
Also, at this stage, Grant is, if I remember from the earlier story, he's now a granddad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All good granddads have dentures at 40 or whatever age they become granddads.
You never want your grandpa to be caught pissing in front of a cop and then threatening to Liverpool kiss or Glasgow kiss. We got a lot of messages about that. A female cop. Oh, granddad. Oh, silly pa.
Well, it's, you know,
he's done it again.
He's not a discriminator. Let's hand him that at least. They chucked Grant into a police van where he urinated again. They should have just let him finish outside.
Has he urinated again? I reckon this man would have a dodgy prostate. There's a lot of beers that have run through Grant. He may have, you know what I mean? That could be a 10, 15 shake job.
Yeah, he's probably like the conduit between lightning and the ground. The brewery, Grant, fucking some soft soil. That's so. From the immediate Burnley area, in fact, another regular at the Turf Hotel himself is another famous face, right? None other than Jordan North, Burnley's Nick Cody,
all right,
a Radio 1 DJ who appeared on I'm a Celebrity, coming second, even after surviving getting in a box with 50 snakes while on the show, a feat which earned him his favourite meal, corned beef hash.
Wow.
Imagine that.
That's the thing. I'm a Celeb. They'd give him shit food in the jungle, but that'd be just standard English fare, surely.
I would think so. I would think they got corned beef hash that morning. I said, well, you just won this challenge. What would you like? What's your favourite thing? Well, I just had it. Just give me that again. What a fucking amazing thing to have. It's incredible.
It's not that hard. Yeah.
What would you get?
Oh, if I won a challenge in I'm a Celebrity.
I mean, I haven't even seen this show, but I even know from reading this exactly what happens. You get in a box of snakes and they go, yeah, well done.
Yeah.
What do you want? And there you go. Yeah. What would you get?
Just a Palmer.
Jesus Christ. You should get corned beef hash.
What would you get? Corned beef hash.
I'd probably order whatever is the furthest away. Probably get some proper food miles up on it. A gin and tonic with some 30,000-year-old iceberg ice from the North Sea. And alongside that, like a woolly mammoth steak or something. No passengers allowed on the charter flight bringing me my dinner. Just a pilot and my plate buckled into a seat. G&T and a special esky, just something like that. I'm not getting fucking corned beef hash or a palmy. They can knock that up in South Africa or wherever these cunts go for that.
Yeah, no, a lot of places don't know about palmers though. There was a basketballer, Aussie basketballer. Fuck, what was his name? He just retired. Andrew Bogut. He got picked number one in the NBA draft. Fun fact about the NBA, Melbourne, Australia, home of the most NBA number one draft picks, 3.
Oh, yeah?
So Melbourne not doing too bad on the world stage when it comes to basketball.
Who were they? Mark Bradtke?
No.
Andrew Gaze?
It was Bogut. I forget the other two. Dante Exum, I believe. Is he one? No. Fuck, I forget the other two. But two, I think, American parents born in Melbourne. And we fucking take it.
I know the other one. Very popular a few years ago. Still popular now, I assume.
Yeah,
I don't know his fucking name.
Ben Simmons.
I was going to say Simpsons, but yeah, Simmons. Don't follow the game. Don't care. But yeah, well done. Well done, Melbourne.
Anyway, Bogut got a chef in America just to make him Palmers.
What do you mean?
He got a chef when he got drafted number one. The first thing he did, he hired a chef to make him Palmers.
A full-time chef to go around with him.
Yeah, make Palmers.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it was to make Palmers at his home. I don't know if he took him on the road. Sorry, it was Ben Simmons, Andrew Bogut, and Kyrie Irving.
Well done, basketball, but better done, Melbourne. A little bit of where are they now? I found our Grant on Facebook. Grant Smith, quite common. They said you'll never make it. Well, I fucking did. And I found our very own Grant Smith. Quite the philosopher these days.
You sent me a bit of audio. You're going to have to explain this, this audio clip, because it's in the toy, but I don't know what he's doing. What's happening?
He's living large these days on water slides and the like, and having a bloody good time. We'll get to where he is soon.
Yep.
But what he's done is he's lost some weight, not off his head, looks the same. Slightly different name online, still found him.
Good job.
He lists himself on Facebook as single. And where do you reckon he studied? Post-high school, of course. Don't just let any old bastard in here.
Oh, fuck. School of Hard Knocks?
Wrong. University of Life.
Oh.
The other big one.
Sorry, you said after high school. Yeah. I forgot. You go from the School of Hard Knocks to the University of Life.
It's not fucking Oxford, mate. Yeah. It's Cambridge. you had two guesses there. You picked the wrong one. He's got a big dog, like a status dog. You know about them. White framed wraparound sunnies.
Yeah. Hold on. What are we fucking doing here? We need a bit of this big dog.
Oh, yeah.
White wraparound sunnies.
He likes.
Where did he go to school again? What's his alma mater?
The University of Life. He likes motorbikes, singlets, and drinks. Minimum one drink in every photo I've copped of this guy, and there are heaps of photos. And I think he likes hair plugs as well.
Okay.
Although I'd have to see him in person to confirm, and I don't fucking want to. English baldies, particularly angry. The ones in denial, probably even worse.
Well, you'd get a chance. It'd be very brief, but to have a look at the top of his head before it comes crashing down on your nose. if you can remember.
Yeah, you pull a bit of doll's hair out of your nostril later on, your bloody nostril, and go, fuck, I knew it. It's fake.
Yeah, did I pass out onto a Barbie, or has fucking Grant come along with his skull again?
It's Grant Smith. He spent a number of years since these couple of incidents, and this will surprise you, living in Thailand.
Oh. More chili! Literally now, in every fucking meal, more chili. I wonder how Grant's holding up.
Oh.
You can't go from that northern English. That's where my mum's from. Yorkshire, you can't go from that overcooked meat and mint jelly on roast to Thailand. It's going to cause havoc on the guts.
Oh, does it? Yeah. It's well, he's been blacklisted from a bunch of bars and night spots, maybe dodgy chili, and I don't know. But he calls himself.
Hold on, sorry. Did you say blacklisted from nightclubs in Thailand?
Yes.
Fuck. That's.
Does that take a fair bit?
That is incredible.
Not one. More.
That is some fucking effort.
Oh, okay.
For people in Thailand to be like, you've had too much, mate.
Yeah.
And too much to the point that you cannot return here ever again.
Yeah, okay. I didn't realize. I've never been. Probably never will go. And I didn't know what sort of a feat that was. But
if the Patreon gets high enough, I'm dragging you to Bali and Thailand.
I'm not going to fucking either.
Oh no, I'll trick you. I'll say get your passport. We're going to France. And you turn up. And
okay,
go,
I'll believe
Jetstar
that.
Jetstar doesn't fly to Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only bring singlets.
Yeah.
We're going to Nice.
He Grant calls himself the Duke Bangkok. Not the Duke of Bangkok, just right. The Duke Bangkok. The Duke enjoys the local culture immensely, such as motorbikes, young women on motorbikes, and full English breakfast, including an entire can of baked beans covering a fair bit of real estate on the plate. So that's how you circumvent your Thai chili, just going to a place and ordering fucking English breakfast in a country that doesn't make it. Not much on his online presence to suggest his teenage daughter, who was expecting a baby in 2008, has much to do with the Duke of Bangkok. A lot of young English and Australian, for that matter, kids.
Let's be honest, though. If he was a granddad in 2008, there's a good chance he's a great granddad, right? Time moves fast.
Oh, nah, man. The kid would be... No kids.
It'd be grim.
It'd be fucking grim. Give me at least 5 years for that. I think you're being unfair.
No, it's 2021 now. Anything can happen.
Yeah, the kid would be fucking 13 now if he's... Nah, I'm not having that. Four years. Give him 4 years. He'll be a great granddad.
Yeah.
At 50-odd. No? 50, early 50s.
Sick. I told in another episode we spoke about this. We did it once on Triple M, youngest grandparent, and I think a 34-year-old called in.
Yeah, right.
I think it was like But there was a 19 and a 15 or something.
Yeah.
The 34 wasn't a 17 followed by a 17.
Oh, right. They're just...
Or it was a 15 followed by a 19.
Whoa.
You know?
Yeah, right. I mean, if you go back a couple of generations, 15 was somehow slightly more acceptable. So you go like a 15, 17, 19, great grandparent.
Yeah.
You're still fine.
Yeah.
You're still pretty fucking, well, oh, don't want to think about it. Makes me feel icky. A lot of young English children and Australians for that matter be just wondering where grandpa is these days. Fucking Thailand usually. Dirty, dirty fucking cunts.
You just never, you just don't want to be that bloke.
Oh, yuck. Like just, yeah. Anyway, happens quite a lot.
How does it get him? It starts with cheap beers, just got to get away from it all.
Yeah.
Right. And then it becomes, you're sitting at a bar for so long that they say you should invest. And then you think buying a bar, part of a bar that you've been drinking in, is a sound business decision. And then you meet a girl there, and then all of a sudden...
Alongside all those things, there are unhappy marriage at home.
Oh, yeah, that was already factored in.
Yeah, right.
This is post-divorce thoughts.
Yeah, okay. Not sure if Grant Smith ever made his way to the Dominican Republic, but their loss appeared to be Thailand's gain. He has been known. I flicked through a fair bit of his Facebook and other shit he's got online. To ask rhetorically, you know what I miss about England? Fuck all.
Turns out the breakfast.
And the banter. He loves a banter and the breakfast.
Yeah. Turns out ham steaks. He's really missing
it. Oh, gammon. Yuck. Why would he miss it when he can sit in a bar with a couple of other silverbacks with young women on their laps and go to water parks, as we heard? Him flying down a water slide.
Oh, is that what that is?
Here we go. Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, my shit. Oh.
Great. He's having fun.
There's a grandpa whose last wish is to love life.
Well, that's where he graduated from.
Man.
The University of Life.
Oh, yes.
Maybe that's not what the words he lives by. It's just love life. He's talking about his old school.
It's in the postgraduate, they tell you to do to go to Thailand. That's the PhD. Just go to Thailand. It's a one-day course, the PhD for the University of Life. One of the few videos of the Duke not featuring sharkers and the loud hum of some form of engine noise. And I did watch a bunch, and there is a theme of him not being allowed into a restaurant or an airport or somewhere, and there's authority there, and he films the confrontation. and posts it.
Great.
And that's how you get shit done.
Amazing. Again, for it to happen on such a regular basis that it's like, fuck, here we go again. Where's my phone? Hold on. I need this for Facebook. Like if I ever had cops and a fucking restaurant owner in my face yelling at me about something I did, the first thought isn't get the camera out.
No. It happens a bit to Grant. He's a perpetual victim. And the message he likes to convey is, you know, I can sort this out because I'm very clever.
Mm.
Bald Englishmen have that as an affliction. Bullying has and always will work, though. So I'm with him there. But the rest of it, take it easy.
He must, again, I don't want to assume what he's about, but you must have some, like I had some mates, well, not mates, blokes I played footy with that moved over to Pattaya, I think, in Thailand.
Yep.
They had nefarious ties to different gangs and whatnot. Mm. I assume you can't just keep getting kicked out of restaurants and blocked from entering airports without you hanging around with certain types.
Oh, yeah, it's a special kind of man. And Grant is that man. Good on you, Grant. Can't wait to see what you're up to next, buddy.
Oh, I don't want to assume what his life, the trajectory of it, but I reckon the next time we hear from him, there'll be a bit of this. It can't be good.
Well, he's clocking in at 48 years old now. For Burnley, that's 3 score and 10. It's 48. I don't do math. You go, how much is 3 score and 10? It's 48. Everything from now on's a bonus.
The twilight years. That's why you've got to have grandkids early.
Yeah.
Everything, it's like dog years.
He's 2 Tom Yums and a violent ejection from a restaurant away from just fucking cracking his skull on a gutter. The Burnley farewell.
A scooter accident. Yeah. That's what I'll get him. It's always a scooter accident because they don't live long enough for melanoma to get him.
I didn't see on the water slide if he had the Thailand tattoo, the second degree burn scooter mark up the inside of each calf.
Mate, I saw a bloke in a Thai bar the other year there for Dum Dum Club, a guy that had fallen off the scooter onto his new tattoo.
Oh.
Which.
Straight through the glad wrap.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Just a bit of illegible Latin, something about being tough and soldiering on or something. I assume that's what he wanted the message to say. But, yeah, scars all over it.
Yeah.
Never did it. Been to Bali once, Thailand a few times. Hopped on a scooter once and held on for my dear life to a man who was driving me who would have been a third of my body weight.
Yeah, right.
It looked like the elephant and the mouse cartoon.
What, as a taxi ride? Like he was taking you somewhere you wanted to go?
Yeah.
Fuck that. Just walk.
Yeah. Have you ever done it? You ever been on the back of a scooter?
No.
In any?
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
Not gonna?
No, I'm not. Just ride a bicycle.
You wouldn't do that there. Man, you go to Thailand or Bali, whatever, but it's fucking busy. I don't know if you want to ride a bike about around there. Vietnam on a bike. It looks like insane Amsterdam. I don't know how people get around.
I'll tell you what my brother did, right? This was only a couple of years ago. He went on a holiday to Thailand with his family. He lives in Hong Kong. He got,
yeah,
I don't know what they're called, the ones where you just like a backwards wheelbarrow, you put your family in the back and you run. You just hold the two things. And,
oh, fuck, what are they called?
I don't know.
Fucker.
Yeah, it's got one of them, right, and just kept it for the week and run his family around town on that, raised quite a few eyebrows.
Yeah. Mate, it's a great idea.
Pretty good.
I will not stop thinking about the name of this fucking thing.
Sucked in because I don't care.
What is it?
I'm going to bed and I'm going to sleep through the night just fine.
I'm going to stare out the window until my son wakes up. In 6 or 7 hours, I'll be useless for days.
All right, man.
All right. That brings us to the end of another episode of Mid-Flight Brawl. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for all the messages you send us on Insta as well, at Mid-Flight Brawl, or send us an email at midflightbrawlpod@gmail.com. Patreon, new episodes of Land Larrikins every fortnight. Patreon.com/Mid-Flight Brawl if you want a part of that. Heggy, you got a bunch of gigs coming up?
Man, I'm touring fucking hard starting this month. It's, I'm on the road. It's back. Comedy's fucking back. How about you?
It's so good. Yeah, I've got a bunch of dates that'll be coming out soon. LukeHeggy.com for your dates, nickcody.com.au for mine. I've got a feeling we're in a lot of places at the same time, and there may be an announcement about a live mid-flight brawl coming out soon.
That's fun.
I'll get onto it.
Well, mate.
Can't trust you with your computer.
No, I'm not fucking doing that.
See you, everyone. Oi.
There, mate.
Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggy, you're already shaking your head.
It's mid-flight brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.